Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining me for another interview. My guest today is Brian Rayler, and we're going to talk to him about how he approaches the markets and ways he finds good opportunities each day as a trader. So first of all, Brian, thanks for joining me on Skype today.
Hey, Jim, thanks for inviting me.
All right, so two things let's start off with that are always my first questions. What type of trader are you in terms of time frame, and what markets do you trade?
Number one, definitely a day trader. I like to be in an all-cash position by the end of the day. And I trade the S&P E-mini futures as well as the Euro futures. And I am getting ready to gradually move into the crude, which I'm finding to match right within my setups and the trade indicators.
Yeah, I think a lot of people gravitate to the S&P E-mini. Talk about the time frames you use on an intraday basis. Are you a tick trader or 1 minute, 5 minute? What do you look at?
It's going to sound like a lot. I do watch four different levels. So number one is from a higher time frame chart. We always look at the higher time frame chart and work my way down. I start with a 30-minute chart, and then I've got a 5-minute chart next to that. So I kind of have what's called an anchor chart, the 30-minute, and a trigger chart, which is the 5-minute. In order to enter my trades that I'm using right now, I do use a tick chart, but I do use a higher time frame tick chart and a lower time frame tick chart. And with that, I don't mind telling you, I'm using a 512 tick chart on my lower time frame, and then you can multiply that by 5 times or up to 7 times and get yourself an anchor chart. So as an anchor chart or a higher time frame tick chart, sets up, that gives me plenty of time. It gives me kind of a heads up to start looking towards my trigger chart to enter a position.
And what chart patterns are you looking for on your anchor chart that says a trade is coming, let's look at the trigger chart now?
I use momentum and I use direction. For momentum, I use a CCI chart, a CCI indicator, and then I use a directional indicator. So if my CCI or my momentum indicator is lining up in my favor, then I look for an almost identical type of setup on my trigger chart. Basically, I have a type of trend line break on the anchor chart. And then when the trend line breaks on the trigger chart, I find myself with a position to enter. And then I do have what's called market internals or confirming indicators, such as a sentiment indicator. I want to make sure the sentiment's in our favor. And I also want to make sure the directional indicator or the ADX, make sure that that's in my favor. And that's what gives me confirmation for a continuation of the trade.
So that seems like there's quite a lot of things that have to line up before a trade presents itself to you. How many trades a day do you take?
There is a lot that lines up. And throughout the many years that I've traded, you know, I've attended the many different seminars like everybody else has, in excess of $70,000, even $80,000 over the many years. And I just got tired of paying for proprietary indicators that were basically nothing more than taking standard indicators, combining them, and then they call them proprietary. Because I always worried about, what if the instructor or the trader went away? Well, if he went away, I wouldn't be able to trade my indicators anymore. So I thought I can use momentum and direction and trade that market. So is there a lot to look at? There is. I mean, we look at an anchor chart and a trigger chart, and then we look for confirmation with a directional and a sentiment. Now you said, how many trades do I take a day? That can range anywhere from 0 trades a day up to as many as 10 trades a day. And it really depends on, I'm watching kind of the Globex range before the market opens. And then I have an opening range. And depending on how those are, by 9:45 in the morning, I have an approximate idea as to, you know, are we going to be taking how many trades that day, or is the market going to be volatile, or is it going to have expanded ranges? I'm going to know that by about 9:45 in the morning.
And what's a typical size for you?
I'll trade anywhere, like, for example, today was a relatively flat day. I may only trade one contract. If I've got a really nice day, I may trade anywhere from 2, 4, or 6 contracts.
Let me just go back up a little bit and talk about these things that you want to line up, because I think there's a lot in there, and I'd like to dive into that a little bit more if that's okay.
Sure. I'm actually looking at my charts while I'm talking to you. To isolate it right down, I use a higher time frame tick chart and a lower time frame tick chart. That's the meat and potatoes of what I trade. I have a sentiment indicator next to it, and I've got a directional indicator, and that's the primary meat of the trading. When I say I have a 30-minute and a 5-minute, those are more like confirming. You know, am I in line with the higher time frame charts? And then the 5-minute chart is more of, I use that also as a type of anchor chart, but they're not too important. I move those out of the way, and that's where I put my Euro charts. And so the Euro charts, I do use different time frame charts, lower time frame tick charts, if you will, and I use the CCI and the ADX also with those. So hopefully that makes sense. So if I'm looking at my screen on the right-hand side, I've got my higher time frame tick chart and my lower time frame tick chart with the ADX and the sentiment. That's what I'm using for a setup on my S&P E-mini. On the Euro, I have the higher time frame tick chart the lower time frame tick chart, and the ADX. And that's what I look for.
And when you say the sentiment indicator, what is it that you use for that?
The NYSE.
The tick chart.
The NYSE tick chart, yep.
Got it. Okay. Market internals, talk more about that.
Market internals, I have the sentiment indicator. That's my key one, but I will also glance over to the left-hand side of the screen. I've got the bank index, and I also have the VIX. So I watch volatility, and you know they talk about the bank index. As so goes the banking industry, so goes the market. And so I keep that on there with the standard moving average. And when we're above it, then I'm kind of leaning towards the long side. When we're below the moving average, I'm leaning towards the short side. The volatility index, I use that also to kind of give me a rough idea. Are they in sync? Conflicting indicators equals to SOH, you know, sit on your hands. And you do find yourself sitting on your hands the majority of the day.
So when you find a trade, will you put in a profit target and stop loss right away?
I have on the trading platform that I use, it automatically projects out the target and the stop loss. And then what we'll do is I'll manage that based on other things that I'm seeing in the market. So for example, I may have, let's go ahead and use a two contract or a two lot position. I'll enter that position and immediately I'll be at an 8-tick stop loss. So I'm risking $200 as soon as I enter that trade. And then I've had people, they'll comment on, well, your profit target, your first target's only 2 ticks. That's correct. My first target is only 2 ticks. And my second target could be anywhere from 4, 6, or 8 ticks, depending on what I'm seeing in the market. The automated trading platform is going to put me at 8 ticks for my second target, as long as I'm trend trading. And with that, once my first target's hit, then I'll move my stop up to 4 ticks. And so I get to what's called a reduced risk level. And so I barely risk 2 ticks if I get stopped out. Now, will I move that stop? And I know the old adage is, don't move your stops. Well, we have to take a step back and see where our price action's moving. Is it moving towards a specific resistance level? Is it moving towards a specific support level? If so, we may very well want to bring our stop back to maybe a prior swing level to help prevent us from a search and destroy, right? They're not going to try to search for us to get us stopped out. So I will move my stops occasionally.
How do you kind of set goals for yourself in terms of success? Is it a dollar amount? Is it a percentage of your account? What do you like to use?
My goals for success is what I've done is I have a set annual figure that I want to attain. And then I divide that by 12 and then I divide it by, you know, 4 weeks. And I have a projected target. So on my trade log, I have in the upper right-hand corner what my projected outcome is going to be and what my projected loss limit will be. And once I hit those, I stop trading. So if I hit my loss limit, I'm done. If I hit my profit target, I'm done. Now, I do trade several different accounts. So on one account, once I hit my profit target, I stop, and then I go to the next account.
Interesting. Why do you split them up?
For example, I use TradeStation. And on TradeStation, I trade the Matrix. That's one account. And yet, once that hits its profit target, then that account is on its way to hitting its projected monthly or annual goal. And then I have another account with Infinity Futures, which is called Infinity AT. And on that one, I trade that completely separate. I may be a little more aggressive on that one or conservative, depending on how my overall, I have a spreadsheet that shows me where I am for my overall annual target. If I'm below that target, then I may not be quite as aggressive. If I'm above that target, I may be a little more aggressive in that account.
Okay, I like that because it's almost a forced way to make you stop trading, not give back any money, then go to a different account with maybe a little bit different strategy.
Exactly. I like to add one more onto that, which is really cool. If you take whatever, because different people, you know, people are going to come in trading a $2,000 trading account, and others are going to come in wanting to trade a $200,000 account. So their profit targets and objectives are going to be different. Some of them are trading for a living, some of them are trading for supplemental income. But I would say this, in my trading manual, I go step by step as to what your goals are. And when you say, hey, I want to make $200 a day, and you project it out a little spreadsheet, you can make it up on an Excel spreadsheet, and put a moving average through there. Have the average of 21 days. When your total is above your moving average, you continue to live trade. If your total drops below your moving average, you go to sim account until you bring your profit back up to above the moving average. It's an awesome way to help control emotions. And because if you're getting too aggressive and you're over trading and you start losing larger than what you're making, then it almost forces you to go to the sim account.
So you go to a sim account until you are back on track, and then you go back into the real account and put it back on track.
Yes.
With the real money.
It's an awesome way to help control your own emotions.
You kind of approach your trading too very technically with all the things we've been talking about, but you approach it kind of with the mental, the psychological side of it too, because you've got some unique background. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I'm a trained life coach. And with that, I view things a little bit differently. In other words, a lot of people will place a trade, and if they lose money, what's the first question they ask themselves? Man, I'm a terrible trader. Or man, what did I do wrong? Well, you know, these brains of ours are computers. So if we ask ourselves that question, what did I do wrong? We're going to get that answer throughout the rest of the afternoon, right? And it's almost like carrying negative baggage with you. So I propose this, that ask yourself a different question. And the quality of our lives is equal to the quality of the questions we ask ourselves, which we do that throughout the day. So how about something like this? If you take a losing trade and just say, how about this? What could I do differently next time to make it a profitable trade? And just ask yourself, just while you're listening to this, ask yourself that same question and just how does that make you feel? Like, oh man, I can't believe I took a loss in that trade. What did I do wrong? Your mind starts actually taking you to a negative perspective, right? So as if we go, hey, what could I do differently next time? You'll look at that trade entry a little bit different than you would, let's say, a profitable trade. And I want you to ask yourself the same question on a profitable trade. On a negative trade, yeah, I would say something like, well, next time, you know what? I just simply didn't see that support line. I tried to short into a support line, or I tried to go long into a resistance line. I just answered my question as to how I'm going to handle the next trade. So when I'm looking at a profitable trade, what did I do great this time that I can duplicate next time? And so that's how I put in a journal. Even after doing, 20 plus years, I still have a daily journal. And I'll write down things. And I have losing days just like everybody else. I'll write down what – and I don't usually say wrong. I said, what could I do differently on these trades? I don't even say the word wrong.
But there's sometimes, right, when you follow all of your rules and you still lose money just because that's the nature of the market. So how do you get yourself to do better if sometimes the market is just not doing what, you know, your rules are right, you were good disciplined, but it just didn't work out?
If the market is just not giving us what we're looking for that day, some people will have a rule, you know, if I take three stops, then I'm done trading for the day, or I'm done trading that vehicle, or certain days, certain indicators just simply won't work. And you have to accept that for what it is. If they're not working that day, I'll still go back at the end of the day and review how those contracts set up and say, oh, this is just the bottom line answer. This is just a day that those did not work. That's as best a solution. Now, would we go back and say, maybe I should go back and readjust my settings? I'll go back and review, or I'll put in a back test to see, are those settings gradually starting to change? You know, for example, where I have my stop loss. If my stop loss moves to -4 ticks and the market continues to come down and take me out, then we need to look at that, maybe back test it out 3 to 4 months and say, maybe we should move it to 5 ticks. And so I'm constantly reevaluating, and I hope that answers that question for me.
Yeah. So are you trading full time now?
I do trade full time. Yeah, I've been doing it about 3 years and was trading pretty much full time for about the last 12. I was a mortgage broker for 20 years. And the wonderful Dodd-Frank Act came out. And with that, they started to do additional licensing. And I was pretty much burned out from doing mortgages. So I said, I got up in the middle of the licensing class and I said, you know, I think I'm just going to resign my license as a mortgage broker. That's the way I make a living right now.
What are some things that you did during that kind of education that you went from mortgage broker to trader full time? What are some of the things you did that really took your trading to the next level that maybe listeners could kind of try to replicate and do for themselves?
I'll tell you, one of the things was I said I really had a passion for trading, and how can I trade? And because you want to make a transition, right? A lot of these people out there are having jobs that they're caught in dead end jobs, or they want to change their jobs. Well, how do you do both? You've got to manage to maybe adjust your work schedule. So as a mortgage broker, I tried to determine, I said the best time to trade for me, I'm on the East Coast, so Eastern Standard Time would be from 9:30 to 11:30. And that's when most of that volume and that's the activities going on. And so what I did is I literally would close my door at the office. You know, productivity breeds anonymity. So if I'm, it was okay for me to close my door, and at 12 noon, then the door's back open and I become a mortgage broker again and put my hat back on. And so I'd be a mortgage broker from 12 noon until about 6 or 7 at night, and I'd be trading full time. So I was actually trading, it depends what you determine as a full time day. To me, 9:30 to 11:30, and I like to step back in the afternoon, 3:30 to 4 o'clock. To me, that's the full time. So That's number one. Number two, always simulation trade before you go to live money. And I think that's what helps most people. And that's the one thing that they dread the most. They don't want to be doing sim trading. Nobody wants to do sim trading. But I'll give you one really cool, you have to leverage yourself. Sim trading is not exciting. Sim trading is not putting money into your account. How about this? Depending on your income level, if you got a 2,000 account or a $200,000 account, you may want to adjust this number. But I'd say take 10 $10 bills and put them on your desk or put them on the shelf, or maybe 20 $10 bills, whatever you like, put them on the shelf. And every time you lose a trade in simulation trading, you have to give one of those $10 bills to a significant other or to somebody that you may not want to give the money to. You can't give it to your child because you're going to give the money to your child anyways. You've got to give it to somebody so you feel a little bit of the pain that will force you to be a better trader during the sim trading, and you're still keeping the money within your family. Kind of a cool approach, I think.
So I guess the main argument against sim trading, some people would say, look, the execution's not real because it's harder to get executions and with real money. But you still feel like there's value there in perfecting your system.
I do believe that there's value in sim trading. If nothing else, learn how your trading platform works. So for example, on the TradeStation Matrix, you know, there's pluses and minuses to every system out there. On the Matrix, it's first in, first out. So it's first touch, it's out. That's not a realistic way to sim trade if you can't travel through price in order to get filled. So to me, sim trading with that particular platform is a disservice to yourself. However, on my Infinity Futures platform, price action has to travel through price in order for me to get filled on my profit targets. To me, that makes me a better trader.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's probably more like the market anyway. What do you feel like in your trading you still need to improve on? What are you still working on to get better at?
I can tell you one of my weaknesses. I would like to be able to trade, you know, 10 or 20 contracts. I've been approached to trade hedge funds. And I'm very cautious because I feel, you know, one or two contracts or four contracts, I can manage. And if I get a full stop out, I can manage it. And it doesn't make me lose sleep at night. If I start bumping that to 10 or 20 or 40 contracts, it's a completely different physiology feel. If you can handle a $400 loss, can you handle a $4,000 loss? And so I would like to learn how to trade higher volume of contracts.
And what do you think that's going to take in terms of being able to go from a $400 loss to a $4,000 loss? I mean, that seems like it has a lot to do with account size.
Sure it does. It also has to do with your psychology. You know, you want to be winning 60 to 70% of your trades. And that 30 to 40% that you do lose, that can be quite painful if you can't handle it on your account size. I would like to be able to trade, I think crude oil and gold for futures markets are much more lucrative, also can be much more dangerous, but much more lucrative in the form of bringing in higher volume to the your P&L. So is there any other ways that I would look to try to improve that or to increase the number of contract size? I am currently working on trying to do longer term trades, meaning holding throughout the day. So if I can manage that, you can tend to put on a few more contracts when you have your limits expanded. But you're going to take on with your higher profits, you have to be able to weather the higher risk and the higher losses.
One other question here about the traders kind of that are in that place where you were maybe 20 years ago and trying to make the jump here, maybe at least just to be consistently profitable and then at some point maybe go full-time as a trader. Was there a point where you said, if my account size gets this big, or you know, some kind of milestone that you reached that said, I'm ready for full-time and it's time to take the leap? Was there some incident or measurement that you had in your mind that you said it was time to be a full-time trader?
Well, from a mortgage broker's perspective, it's a position of I'm an extrovert by nature, and I was doing I had a pretty high volume of loans, and I felt like I was always having to rely on title companies, realtors, appraisal companies, surveyors, and there was a lot of uncontrolled stress. And so the transition into trading was when I was trading from 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, I found the potential to be financially independent as well as the potential to financially devastate myself. And I thought if I could harness that, that was the way to go, because you then control your own destiny. You don't have to rely on other entities to be successful. You're either successful on your own or you fail on your own. And I hate to use the word failure. I want to use the word challenge. So I can either be successful or I can have a lot of challenges on that road to success. And while sim trading, a lot of people discourage the idea of sim trading, that only made me stronger and want to be successful at trading this for a living. And then I thought, well, isn't that great? You got a great computer system. You got a great system. You've got great trading software. And what you do is you wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, and you're in control of your own destiny at your desk, whether you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt or whatever you want to be wearing at your business.
Talk about Trader Shark. What do you do there?
Trader Shark is a room where I people come in and they watch me trade. They see all my setups. They see all my active settings. And the idea is proprietary indicators are not required. And it's not one of those rooms where you have to pay, you know, $1,500 or $3,000 or anything like that. It's basically a very low-cost way to be able to begin your trading, to learn how to do it. You can take what you learn. You can go off and trade on your own, or you can subscribe and join us in the Shark Den and learn with us. And so we've got a great group of traders where they help each other. I've got three trading manuals that I wrote, as well as a Euro trading manual that are like $129 for all four of them, which you can't beat that. And the Shark Den itself is like $129 a month. So that's it. You can actually get started with, you know, less than $300, which is pretty cool.
Listeners, will link to that, tradershark.com. Brian, thanks very much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Tim, I appreciate your time and questions. Thank you.